bu güzel açıklamalarından dolayı Sayın Hocama teşekkür ediyoruz. Şu anda üçüncü konuşmacı bir yabancı konuğumuz Miss Elian Bonemia. Farklı bir aile, görme özürlü çocuğu olan bir ailenin durumunu anlatacaklar. Buyurun.
Deniz biraz görme özürlüdür. Şimdi onun hakkında biraz size bilgi vereceğim. Eve yardımcı geliyor. O yardımcılar Deniz'e geliyorlar işte. Oyuncak falan öğretiyorlar. Biraz gelişmesini öğretiyorlar. Bir saat veya bir buçuk saat arayla haftada, iki haftada bir geliyorlar. İstediğin zaman geliyorlar tabii. İstersen bir haftada, istersen iki haftada geliyorlar. Gelip bir saat veya bir buçuk saat duruyorlar. İşte biz daha o okula gönderemedik. Ona göre bir okul bulamadık daha doğrusu. Bizim oğlanın ilk görme özürlüğünü söyleyen kişi çocuğu kontrole götürüyor ayda bir kere. Onlar söylemişti sizin çocuğunuzun gözleri iyi görmediğini. Duyduğumda çok korktum yani çocuk belki bir sakatlık falan geçirebilir diye. Hocam da hani biraz şeyi karşıladı bu olayı. Biraz o da korktum bizim çocuk böyle mi kalacak diye ama sonradan açıldı, iyi görüyor şimdi. Görüyor da yani o kadar bizim gibi iyi görmüyor yine de. Ve bu konuda çok aldım yani annem babam çok yardımcı oldu bana. Ablam olsun, kardeşlerim olsun çok yardımcı oldular. Enes'in problemini anlıyorlar. Onu çok seviyorlar yani. Hiç üzülmesini istemiyorlar. Sonra eskiden Enes bu kadar çabuk yürüyemiyordu. Bu kadın işte eve yardımcı geliyor. Onlar sayesinde yürümeyi falan öğrendi. 2 yaşında yürüdü. Şimdi 2,5 yaşında. İleride inşallah daha da düzelecek gözleri.
It's okay. Dear audience, before closing time, I would like to interact with you about the sometimes difficult way for a family to learn how to manage with a visually impaired child. We just heard a Turkish mother of a blind toddler living in Belgium. My lecture has been built out of experiences and examples in the work of early care in Belgium, the Flemish part. Some of the families are Turkish. I hope that the ideas can offer you inspiration to you working in the Turkish society. Each parent, from which culture he comes, will experience and go through the same process of having a handicapped child in his own individual way. We have to respect this. Or, as Galilei said, you can't learn anything to someone, you can only help him to discover it inside himself. This describes the basic attitude from which our different home workers act and support. We can look at early home support for visually impaired children from different points of view. We can consider the guidance of the evolution of the child, like some speakers did already before. But that's not what it's all about. We can also consider the guidance of the family of the visually impaired child, and that's what we want to do. We got inspiration from a pedagogical, family-oriented model. The concept of family support is designed for each child and family separately, and is the result of the needs and demands of both the parents and the visually impaired child, linked to what we as home workers can offer as help. There are two important issues. First of all, we support the self-esteem, the creativity, and the individuality of the parents, the child, the grandparents, brothers, and sisters. And secondly, we have a constant attention for the family, the environment, the social values, and standards. Now I will mention some characteristics of our families. It are all young families with a young visually impaired child, and they are living in what we call a centripetal life cycle. This means it are young families extending themselves, and they use a lot of internally directed energy in order to take care and to educate their young children. And we know that the visually impaired child needs more attention. The romantic self-evidence disappears in the relationship with the partner, and the visually impaired child sharpens the existing family patterns. Some white spots in the partner relationship can again be considered as problematic. Secondly, every family has its own life structure. A life structure refers to the organization of the family. It are the habits, the rituals, the rules of the game, the notions, the role patterns, the history, the importance of the extended family, of the members of the village, the culture of we, in which the feeling to be a member of a group is important. So every family tries to find their own way of integrating the visually impaired child into this organization. The third characteristic, the family becomes another kind of family by the arrival of the visually impaired child. They are sometimes burdened with the feeling that they no longer fulfill the standards in connection with education, parenthood, or being a good family. A different child can create a family of a different kind. The parents are aware of the fact that their educational task, which is already difficult, may become even more difficult. The existing and self-evident educational values lose their evidence. The family begins its search for a new identity. The fourth characteristic, the visually impaired child can bring along some areas of tension. Because of the child, the family can end up in a long and unexperted crisis, in the course of which all kinds of states of mind alternate: fear, uncertainty, denial, doubt, rebellion. They are all experiences that belong to life. The process of accepting is a road that never ends and on which one constantly evaluates. For example, parents have to give their child the opportunity of expressing its feelings. But at the same time, the parents live through their own distress and disappointment. So care for the child's emotions is in contrast with care of their own personal emotions. Or parents have to take care of their child, but as this child turns out to be a problem child, the parents have a lot of questions of their future. It's not easy to take care of someone while you yourself are burdened down with worries. And then the fifth characteristic, the cooperation with families in early home support never starts with a clean start. Some experiences in previous contacts with, for instance, medical experts may have been improving ones. But other experiences have inflicted deep wounds, such as the first announcement of the disability, the advices in connection with referral, the reactions of the environment. We often hear the same story, an abrupt, oversimplified, far from hopeful announcement, no attention for the emotional life, constant uncertainty, contradictory advices, a lack of set terms, an exaggerated display of professionalism. Parents ask for clear and honest information with hope and time to accept. How do we look now at the families as early care service? We look from the viewpoint of values and standards in the society. So we must have an eye for the broad context in which the disability is situated. Few people realize to what extent their own behavior is influenced by the expectations of religion and the people around them. That one has certain ideas about how one another has to behave or think in a specific environment. These rules are seldom written down, but nevertheless, they can very be determining our daily life. These thoughts, these mirrors, are called social perspectives and become an important social control. We now focus on the social perspectives in the field of education. In our practice, we notice an often recurring phenomenon. When something goes wrong with a child, the parents very often feel guilty or ashamed. In a society where expectations concerning the social role, being a member in the society, and concerning honor, getting honor is a priority, they are very high. The fact of having a child with problems can become a reason to feel ashamed or to be burdened down with the question of who is to blame. After all, everyone wants to have a perfect child, and there is not much room for error. Society and religion set out standards for certain contradictories. For example, they say children are treasures on earth and are very important for parents to become a full member of the family. Or children are active, vital, adorable, and will become a good member of the group. Or your son will succeed his father as head of the family. But what happens when your child is blind, partially sighted, or multiple handicapped? The outside world is always present in the inner world of the environment. Whether the family is or is not aware of it, grandparents, members of the family, friends, neighbors, teachers, to put it shortly, religion and society are watching. So parents of a visually impaired child feel that their family differs from the standard family. These differences display themselves in a lot of daily activities, like family and friends don't know how to behave while visiting the new mother and her blind baby. Or going to an ordinary school is not so obvious and asks for a specific guidance. Or an overwhelming tolerance toward a handicapped child can lead to an attitude of understimulation. Or shall my blind child be able to marry? These 100 moments a day make the family feel different. What does this mean from the viewpoint for our early care service? During the process of early home guidance, it is important to support the parents in their communication about and to focus on the exchange of information between family and society. For example, it's important to be aware of what a society expects. It's important to recognize and to express your own sensitivities concerning the subject as parents. It's important that you learn to give information as parents to ignored third persons of the environment. So, for that purpose, we offer them a safe place to experiment where they can talk about being different. Early home guidance may be a place where disappointments can be discussed and where successes can be celebrated. It may also give the opportunity to have contact with other parents who find themselves in the same situation. And we, as home workers, are also subject to social rules that prescribe how good and how adequate we have to be. Like, the will of God is critical, or you have to keep on believing that the situation will improve, or you are an adequate home worker when you solve problems quickly, or solutions and recovery will be found in the medical world. The second viewpoint is the shared territory. The education of a visually impaired child becomes a shared area, a shared territory between the parents and the home workers. It becomes what we call a co-territory. But it's very important that parents, that they can remain to experience that they are responsible for their child, and that we as home workers see their engagement. The parents consult the home workers as experts who can offer them support in their own educational abilities. It becomes a shared care within a common objective. Let their child and their family function as good as possible as a full member of the society. We should also take into account that we as home workers enter into an important physical private place of the parents. We visit their homes. A shared territory or a shared area demands a negotiation about the tasks and the limits with a satisfactory compromise for both parties as a result. Both parties have to look after their own interests, but at the same time, they have to maintain an atmosphere of confidence. It may be useful to lay down the first agreements concerning the mutual expectations. This means how and under which conditions are parents and center willing to cooperate. Sharing an area may pass in a not so smooth manner. Some parents consider the education as their exclusive right. Others abandon everything. Home workers may ignore the limits of the family. A simple pedagogic advice with the best intentions often contain the implicit expectation that parents are going to apply the advice unconditionally. This may lead to a breaking point. The process remains an important assignment for the parents to admit it, as well truth, we can start with the basic assumption that a human being is always busy with his own interpretations, his own definitions, his own determinations of the meaning of the everyday events. We put a meaning on the facts under the influence of all the circumstances of the environment. This environment is characterized by values and standards, as we said already, and by an elaborate network of personal and social connections and relationships. So starting from the environment, every human being creates his or her own truth, his or her own interpretation of facts. So searching for the truth becomes unnecessary. And what does this mean for our early care service? The early care does not solve problems, but tries to get people to deal with their problems in a different way. We can't take the disability away from the child, but we can support the family and the child. We try to learn them how to cope with being different. In other words, the worker helps to build up a vision from which the family can go on living or can go on to survive. It is obvious that there aren't any rules for how to accept the fact of having a visually impaired child. And it is important also to be aware as home worker that we also know our own truth and our own reasons. And mostly we start typically with a change-oriented pattern. We have to be aware of that. So we can conclude that the home worker who wants to render home support to a family with a visually impaired child in a professional manner has to stand side by side with them as a companion, as a supporting element in their difficult task of learning how to live in a lifelong situation of being different. Early home support asks a flexible and creative attitude of the home worker. It supposes a constant integration in the organization of the reality of the family with a vision of social roles, values, and standards. It also supposes a fundamental respect for people with all their possibilities and restrictions and limits. Or, to quote Erikson, if you want to change the river's bed, don't stand in the middle of it. It doesn't work that way. Rather stand at the river's bank and follow the movement of the water and lead it into its new channel. That's the line to take. Dear audience, this frame represents the basic attitude from which we early home workers act and handle. And I believe that these values have a universal character. I really hope to get later on these days some feedback on my message in order to enrich our work together with Turkish families living in Belgium. Thank you.
Işıkları açabilir miyiz? Değerli konuklar, üç konuşmacımızın da konuşmaları sona ermiş bulunuyor. Şu anda sorularınız varsa lütfen alalım. Bir dakika efendim. Ne dediniz Fark? Emin Demirci. Sayın Turhan İçli. Yusuf Çelebi. Evet. Pardon. Ülkü Köseler. Eyüp Doğan. Fark. Mümin Özeken. Evet efendim. Başka var mı? Peki. Peki o zaman Sayın Emin Demirci'den başlayabilir miyiz lütfen?